Okay, welcome everyone. This week is the Haftorah for Parshas Noach. And Noach is a was a message that even though mankind goofed and messed up, that the world would continue and we could rebuild. And there was a promise that Hashem wouldn't totally destroy and wouldn't bring a flood again. And to some extent, the Jewish people also were destroyed, so to speak, with the temple and the exile, and just like the world was destroyed in the times of Noah. But the idea that the destruction was needed or there was a purpose in it, and sometimes if something isn't right, you have to knock it down and start over. That's the only way to do it. You can't keep on adding. If something needs to be rebuilt, you have to start from scratch or you have to rebuild. But the idea that that whatever the Jewish people had undergone until now, we're not going to have to do that again, and that this time that Hashem's love, that we will succeed, and that we have this covenant with Hashem, the covenant really of Noach, that even though perhaps mankind in the past has messed up, that Hashem will give the world another chance. And that that's somewhat the message over here as we begin Yeshaya. And we begin with the words runi, which we've had that before. That's the same word as Rina. Rina is a happy song. That's why we use it as a girl's name or a child's name, because it's a, you know, what a beautiful thing to have a child should be a happy song. You know, that's a, you know, like a, it's actually a form of prayer. It's not just a song, but it's a song of prayer, like a very happy prayer is a Rina.
My daughter's Hebrew name.
Oh, okay, that's right. So this is the verb for that. Rani akara, let the... now, usually a person who's an akara, usually it's somebody that's unable to have a child. And a person who wants to be a mother and can't have a child, life is a challenge. They feel that they've always wanted to be a mother and they're unable to be a mother. And so they're not that happy. They don't sing. They walk around depressed, or they feel that... and so there's no one who's more depressed if somebody that's felt that their purpose in life was to have children and they never had a child. And yet the prophecy is that those people in the future will sing. The one that was barren will sing a happy song. Even a person, Lo Yolada, who never gave birth, Pitzki Rina, will open up, and most of the Meforshim learn this refers to Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is our capital city, and is our city where the word of Hashem comes from. And throughout much of our history, it's been an empty city. It's been a broken city. It's been a city that's been desolate and destroyed. And other cities of the Gentiles, they have Paris, they have Vienna, you have other big, beautiful cities, you have London. All those cities have been inhabited, and they've had lots of people in them, and lots of nice buildings, and lots of nice attractions. And Hashem is guaranteeing us that the one that's been empty, the one that hasn't given birth, don't worry, it's going to rejoice, it's going to be happy, it's going to sing. And this is a theme that nobody has to worry in life that they won't get. There's a reward in the end. And when people serve Hashem, miraculously, there will be joy in the end. So we think of Sari Menu, that her whole life she didn't have children, and her husband was persecuted, and they were, thrown into the furnace, and she was captured, and they had famine, and they had all kinds of trouble. You name it, they had. But in the end, they were happy. And Rashi says when Sari Menu died, Kulin Shavun Latov, all her days were good. Right, that was ultimately the way she took it. But here it's saying that the one that was either unable to have children or the one that never gave birth will open up in joy. Lo cholu. Now, usually birth, it's not all. It's nice to have, people look at, people that have children and say, oh, that looks like fun. It's so easy. They're just doing it. But everybody knows that before you have a child, a person has to go through pregnancy, and pregnancy isn't easy, and they have to carry the child, and they have to have labor, and then delivery, and then comes diapers, and then tuition bills, and then staying up nights. They said if a person would really think of all that they go through, very few people would want to. That's what's happening, right? Yeah. Hashem is promising us that we will have these children in the future. So we know that that's going to come with birth pangs and labor. And so Hashem says, no, but we'll give birth, but we won't have to lo cholu. We won't have to get sick. We won't have to have labor. Ki rabin b'nei shomema b'nei bula. And the one that's been desolate and empty all these years will be even greater than these cities that have been inhabited, Omar Hashem. Verse 2. And there's a prediction. I think I've talked on this theme, but it never ceases to amaze me. We get used to things. We get used to ideas because we live through them. But really the fact that in Israel today, Jews from all over the world have settled there. You're talking about basically an empty country that was mostly desert, and Jews have come back from at least 50 countries. I want to say probably even more than that. But from all over the world, the Jews are coming back to live in Israel. For thousands of years, we've been scattered. This is our family. We're from the same Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. These are our family. These are our cousins. And we've been scattered all throughout the world and, you know, separating by thousands of miles and cultures. And you can go to Israel today and you have Russian Jews and you have Sephardic Jews and you have Hasidic Jews, and we're all together in this same time gathered from all over the world, and they're coming back, and the planes are coming back today. You know, every month you see new planes, people are coming there, and it's just really amazing thing to see such a in our time that people are coming back from all over the world. Our family is coming back and reuniting after being separated from over 1,000 years. And many different countries that if we would try to do it, we couldn't. If we would try to convince everybody, just imagine if we try to get all the Jews in Georgia to just come all back and live in a Jewish neighborhood, you know, like we try to do that, right? It's not going to, I'm happy in this city and I'm happy in this city. I'm not leaving. I like it over here. Why should I come back to go live in a Jewish neighborhood, right? Or go, but Hashem has engineered it. He's bringing everybody back. He's bringing slowly. I mean, we have reasons to be here where we're at, but that's part of the redemption process. And we look at some of this stuff and say, what, give birth to a child? After it's to a person, a certain point in life, people can't give birth to a child, right? Or somebody's, so just like these promises have started to come true, the redemption has started to happen as far as that. So Hashem says you're going to have to clear away space. And again, you go to Israel, you see that they're opening new neighborhoods here. Even Machom, as soon as hopefully they get another president that won't stop them from building the new neighborhoods and stuff. But Hirchivi Machom, that's
don't care,
right? Clear out the space for the tents. When you're really crowded, you have to put up a tent. You know, sometimes the shul does that for like a really big kiddush. If they're out of room, you put up a tent So in the old days when you had no room in the house, you put a tent up and you put the people in the tent, right? So Hashem says, make space for the tents and curtains and Mishkan Osai for your dwelling places. And when you build them, though, you better make sure they don't fall down. You better do them strong. You know, tighten the curtains. Basically, because a lot more people are coming, you better get ready for them. He's saying that in Israel, that people are going to the cities are going to become re-inhabited, and you need to make space. Ki yamnu sma, people will spread out to the left and to the right. Vizarek goyim yirsham, this is also interesting. It mentions that we'll have to inherit nations. You know what it means to inherit them? It means that there will be places where there were Gentiles who lived there before, and they'll have to leave because we're coming back. And that's also what happened. There are some Arab cities where Arabs used to live, and the nice thing about it was that we didn't even have to kick them out. They left on their own. They don't tell you that. The Arabs left because they thought that the Arab army said that you better clear out because we're going to wipe out the Jews. So you need to move out of the way.
You'll come back, you'll get your house and your
other. Right, that's what they told them. That's a historical fact. So they moved out, and then Israel conquered the Arabs, and there are many cities today where we inherited those nations. That's exactly what the Navi is saying, that Goyim Yirshum, we are going to inherit those nations. there is something, there are greater boundaries than what we have right now, even of biblical Israel. It's the Arm Neshamasu, and so there'll be two things. There'll be inhabited cities that are full of goyim, no problem, we can take over those cities, and then also there'll be empty cities that we will take. But verse 4, we're a little bit afraid because the first time around, and the second time around, it didn't last. So Hashem says, don't worry, Al Tiro, don't be afraid, Ki Lo Sevoshi, you won't be embarrassed, Val Tikomi. We are a people that have had other hopes that have been dashed over the years. We've had other hopes, we've had other possibilities. So Hashem says, don't worry, the Ki Boshi Sulamaiti. Now, we went through this time of being like alone and being like ashamed because of our sin and feeling bad about ourselves. Hashem says that's just a bad dream. We'll forget that. Let's not talk about that. When things get fixed, sometimes people go through a lot of challenges in life, and then the situation gets better or changes. And it's like a dream. It doesn't even, like a person doesn't even mention it anymore. Like it's so easy to forget. Like the good things happen, and you think at those times, like if you'd only known, you would have realized that, you know, that would pass. You know, it's the time has a way of healing things, as they say. So Hashem says, you know, all of this, all of the difficulties, they won't be mentioned anymore. And the question might be, well, who's going to fill all of our hole? You know, we all have empty spots in our heart. We're all missing things. So Hashem says, I'm going to fill them. I'm going to fill that gap. Hashem is your spouse, so to speak. He's your master. And Hashem is Svakos. Hashem, the word Sva means has armies at his disposal. He can fix everything. He's got tens of thousands of legions, the Golek, and he's the Holy One of Israel. And not only that, Elokei Kol Oretz, and he's the at that time, not right now, he's only known by the Jewish people, but eventually he'll be known to the whole world. Ki ke'eshes azuva, and we've been like a woman that's been abandoned, meaning that we've had an attitude, so to speak. We felt rejected, the atzuvas ruach, and we've been depressed, and Hashem doesn't look at us that way. He doesn't look at us as this old rejected people. He says, "Ki eshes norim." Hashem will never forget us because we are the his young wife, he remembers the good times that we took from Olamakai. We've had this many times before. There's so many things in life people can focus on. They want to focus on. It's really like a lesson. Like often people want to focus on the things that are not right instead of the things that are right. You know, or things that are good. And so Hashem says, he remembers us in our youth, our love for him, our relationship. Now it's true, but Rega Katna, there was a second that Hashem left us, but that was just a second. Barachim Gedolim, with big mercy, a kapsek, I will gather you. Verse 8, Beshetzev Ketzev. And again, it's very poetic when you read it. Beshetzev Ketzev. I had anger for a little bit of wrath. By the way, it's not, you know, to us, a little bit of wrath is pretty, you know, it's like Hitler was not a little bit of wrath, you know, in the scheme of history, it's a shetzef ketzef, it's a little bit of it passed. Hestarti, now, we call that Hester Panim, that's a famous expression, which means God hides his face. Where was God, you know, and people saw terrible things happen in Auschwitz, and sometimes people have terrible tragedies, and they don't see God in the tragedies. Our challenge is that we always view God like the moon. We know he's there, even though we can't see him sometimes. We believe that Hashem is there, and he is loving. It's just sometimes there are times in life that it's hidden from us. It's what they call Hester Panim. That's a hidden. What's interesting is that the name Esther is that same name. You know, Esther, you know, she had to, you know, was taken into the palace with this Ahasuerus. Where was God? And this was the most horrible thing for her, you know, that she was taken to live with a mass murderer, drunkard. You know, we all complain about Trump. He doesn't compare to Ahasuerus, you know, or, you know, whatever he is, you know. Look who Esther had to live with, you know. Look, you know, she had to be afraid that he would, you know, he murdered her, his last wife, and he was. But that the name Esther is the same word as Haster. It's a hidden. So it seemed like a really big tragedy that she was taken to the palace, but in the end, she saved the Jewish people. And not only that, she rebuilt the temple through her son. And so that's what we call a hidden. Hashem is hidden. Histarti panay. And again, rega mimeich ubechesed olam. But the love and the kindness, there are moments of wrath, but love and kindness will be forever. Rechamti ama goa, and Hashem is the one who redeemeth. Now we get to Noach over here, and that's really the connection to the parsha. Ki mei Noach zosli. When you think about it, the world never flooded. I'm not so worried about global warming either, I have to tell you. You know, like, Hashem isn't going to let that happen to us. Now, again, if we're negligent, we can't speak to that. Meaning that if we do things that are, it's like a person who smokes and says Hashem's going to take care of his lungs. You can't. Hashem isn't going to take care of you if you don't take care of yourself, right? So I think global warming is like that as well. If it becomes obvious to us that we're doing things that are destroying our world, then we're not allowed. But on the other hand, it's Hashem promise that he's not going to destroy the world again. That's the covenant of Noah. And so we don't have to, you know, it shouldn't be one of our worries that the world is going to cave in. That shouldn't be. We have much better things to worry about, you know, than that. You know, hope that the world. But that's part of the promise of Noah, that Hashem swore that he isn't going to bring a flood anymore. He's not going to flood the world. Oda ki ki nishbati miketzav aleh. Hashem swore that he wasn't going to do this kind of thing. Now there were some skeptics who said, well, he's not going to flood the world, but maybe he'll destroy the world in other ways. But it's not really, that's not the deeper message. Then what's the big promise? You know, okay, he won't flood the world, but he'll nuke it. That doesn't make sense. You know, Hashem made a promise that if you read the words, he says he's not going to be wrathful with you or rebuke you. So that's at the end of this verse 9. So that sounds like he's not going to nuke it. He's not going to bring global warming and make us sink under the water or the. Again, I don't want to make fun of it. Again, if there are things that as a society we need to do, but we have to worry. Again, we have to focus on those things that we can really focus on. We have to focus on being nice to people and helping people. And the best way to fix the world is to help people. That's the best way to. It's very nice to sit and worry about how to, you know, solve bigger problems. Let's worry about smaller problems. There's people that need a ride. There are people that are lonely. There are people that need all kinds of things. So let's try to help them. Let's try to. The shul needs. Organizations need things. Schools need things. Other places need things. You can make a real difference in so many ways. But Hashem says he's not going to get angry with us. Verse 10, and then he makes it really strong. He says, you know, have you ever seen a mountain disappear, or have you ever seen a valley fill in? He says, well, that just like those things will never happen, my kindness will never go away from you. Again, it's also like we live in a society where the theme of the major religion, Christianity, is that Hashem doesn't rejected us, and so therefore he picked them and changed his mind. What do you mean? This is one of their books. They agree that this came from God. God says, the mountains will disappear, and my kindness, lo yamush, will never leave you. My kindness shall not be removed from you. So how do you have an intelligent people that follow a religion that says God will never reject the Jewish people? Never. Just like a mountain. The mountains will disappear before that. Right? That's what God said. So how do you have a religion that says, well, he did reject you, and now he picked us wonderful, peaceful Europeans that have been, you know, murdering each other and all kinds of who knows what. But again, the answer is that it's not a religion that really stands up to a lot of thought. If you really think into it, there's not a lot that they can explain, or that it doesn't follow logic. And Islam is even worse. Yeah, I don't even want to go there. In other words, you could argue religion, but you can't argue. You know, to a certain point, the early Christians made that mistake. They got the Ramban to debate them. And they said, for a person who's wrong, you debate pretty well. You know, they could. You know, you can't. But it's just for us to know. Like, it says very clearly here that Hashem will never take his kindness from us; that he loves us forever. verse 8, V'chesed Olam, and Hashem promises us that He'll never get angry with us again, He'll never destroy us, and His covenant of peace, and Hashem is the one who loves us in mercy. So how does somebody come along and say, okay, and the one who came along and said that was maybe 200 years after this. You know, it's just just like they said that we'll never come back to Israel, right? Remember that? They used to believe in that, the Jews will never come back, and that's why, they were anti-Zionist, all the church was anti-Zionist, and then they said we'll never get Jerusalem back, if you remember, because that was their belief. So it's really we don't have to go around telling the non-Jews they're wrong, that some of them are very well-meaning, but the concept of their religion that somehow Hashem changed His mind and took away His kindness, it's one thing if they didn't accept the books of the Torah, but they accept this as the book of Scripture. It's just it's not something an intelligent person could argue that well, maybe Hashem got angry with you and picked us. It doesn't make any sense. Hashem was very clear with us that His love for the Jewish people will last forever. I mean, you can't be more clear that the mountains will disappear. I haven't seen any mountains disappear. You know, that'll happen before my love disappears from you. Ubrish Shlomi, and my covenant of peace, Lot, will never go away. It will not falter. That's what Hashem says at all times. And that's what Hashem says. And He reminds us of the covenant of Noah, because that's something we recognize, that there was this flood, and Hashem promised it wouldn't happen again. Okay, so this is actually combined with the next part, which we keep on, continue on. Ani Asara, this again refers to Jerusalem, or the land of Israel. It's going to be rebuilt. It's a people or a country that's been afflicted. Ania, like a poor one. One that Sarah is like tossed around. We've been tossed around. That explains, the Jewish people have been tossed around from one country to another, one neighborhood to another. And we have not been consoled. So Hashem says, I'm going to rebuild, and it's going to be rebuilt in a beautiful way. So first of all, Hashem says that the foundation is going to be rebuilt out of stone. Stone is pretty strong, like that's a pretty good thing to build a foundation with. But He's going to do it out of very fancy stones. He's going to make like sapphire stones, and He's going to lay the foundation with very valuable, strong, beautiful stones. Verse 12, He's describing like a rebuilding in like a miraculous, beautiful, strong structure. That Vekoglen, and things that we could not imagine, it will be rebuilt. And it'll be a comfort knowing that it's going to be rebuilt even better than it ever was. Mm-hmm. Verse 13, though, and again, this is interesting. Today they say that there were previous times where the people couldn't afford to send their children to Jewish schools because they were so poor they had to make them work. It wasn't that long ago where the kids had to work in the field and in the factories, and it was child labor, and they just didn't have the luxury that the people would get a Jewish education. So over here it says, all of your children will be able to learn about Hashem. Like, it'll be open to everybody. It's not all of your children will know of Hashem and learn Hashem. And Barav Shalom Benai, real Torah, real learning brings peace. It's a Torah of peace, and there'll be that peace. One of the reasons that we don't say the Mashiach is here yet, and we're not confused by that, is because we don't have peace. You know, we know when the lion lies down with the lamb hasn't happened. So it's okay to think the Mashiach might be around the corner. There are a lot of signs, a lot of, you know, Jews are coming back and we're gathering, Israel's being rebuilt, and we're still waiting for the last few things to happen, you know, and we don't have that yet, but that's okay. The Mashiach has a lot of, we still have to hope for the Mashiach to bring that, to bring the peace and to bring, but meanwhile, we shouldn't think the Mashiach is here because we don't have all that. But part of that is that we have the learning, and eventually we'll have peace. But tzedakah, now Israel will be settled with tzedakah, with righteousness. Rachum Oshek, and nothing can be built with cheating or taking away from people or oppression. Kilosir and Mikita Kilosir, Hashem won't come near. Hashem doesn't like things that are ill-gotten gains, so to speak. Hein Gur Yagur Ephes Moti, and you don't need to be afraid of anything except me, because there is nobody else. Mi Gur Itach, and if somebody wants to scare you, let me talk to them. they'll fall in front of me. In other words, Hashem is in charge of us. He's the only one we have to keep happy. Verse 16. Hinei, Anoki barasi chorish nofach. Hashem, he will create us. He will form us, just like a blacksmith. Hashem is will form us and help us. Umotzi klilim, and he creates a vessel. Anoki barasi mashkis lechavel, and Hashem also creates challenges for us. But verse 17. Excuse me. Thank you. Ki kolokli yotzer alayich, and anything that's created to harm you, lo yitzlach, will not be successful. You could study, you know, how we've been surrounded by Arab nations that have hated us and tried to destroy us. The amount of plans they've had over the years, they have a superstition as to why they're never successful, the Arabs. I think it's like it's like magic or something, or the Jews have some kind of hex on us, or because over the years there have been so many Arab plans to. I mean, think of the things the terrible terrorist things that happened in this country, and Israel's had some terrorism, but for every one that succeeds, there's 100 that didn't get anywhere, that the bomb didn't go off, or the people were caught, or the. It's just incredible. The stories that people have told, and sometimes there were much bigger things where the people, the whole nations, conspired to do different things to harm Israel, and they keep on trying, but they don't succeed because Hashem is with us, and that's pramiki kokli. Whatever they create against to harm you, lo yitzav kolashin talking mitach, and they're going to talk against you. Hashem's going to have a word with them. Zos nachas avdia. This is Hashem's inheritance, and your righteousness comes from me. This is what Hashem says. Now, there'll be a time in the future where people will be thirsty. It's mentioned otherwise, the thirst is really for they're not thirsty for water, but they're thirsty for the ways of Hashem. People will be seeking out truth. They'll be seeking out wisdom. They want to know. So, kol tzamulukhu l'mayim. Whoops. People will be thirsty. But they're going to want water. But they won't have money. They won't be able to buy it. They'll be able to acquire. They'll be able to come and to eat and to be satisfied. Below kesef below. But it's not the food and drink that costs money. It's the knowledge of Hashem. Lama tisha kesef below lechem vigechem below lusava. Why should people put work into things that don't satisfy them or will not satisfy them? Shamu, they need to listen to me. V'ochel tuv, and then they'll eat well. V'sanek b'deshen, and then they'll be satisfied. Verse 3. Hiti aznacham, you know what they need to do? If they listen to my words, then Elishom, I'm on verse 3, utchinash, and then you'll live. In other words, we believe that the words of Hashem, if a person hears the knowledge of Hashem and the words of Hashem, that gives a person it gives them a desire to live, and it gives them a new life, and it gives them satisfaction, and it's really the learning Torah. And Hashem said, I'm going to make with them a covenant forever. And it's a kindness with David that he promised to David. That David is a reference to Mashiach. That's the leadership that will come through the line of David. He's going to be a witness, or there'll be a witness to the nations. Verse 5. Hein goy lo seide tikra. And nations that who you don't know, who you've never heard of, will come to you, and the goy lo yu elecha yurutzelo, run to you, and they'll help you, and they'll. And again, this has happened in our time also, where Gentiles, there are righteous Gentiles that want to help Israel. There are more today. There are more Zionistic Christians than there are Jews. I mean, it is amazing. Like you always hear about the bad one, but there are some that I run into people. I don't know how to take it. They tell me how they love Jews, and I guess I say, what do you say? Thank you. But you meet people like that they believe that the Jews are Hashem's people, and they want to help them, and they want to do things for them. Some of them want to convert you, I suppose, or they have other agendas, but there's some that they've come to believe that we're Hashem's people, and that's part of this this prophecy as well, is that these nations that we don't never heard of, they're going to come running. Laman Hashem, because of Hashem your God and the Holy One of Israel, Kifara, he has glorified you, the Jewish people. And so, again, a very beautiful promise, a very beautiful covenant coming from Noah, which you could take it in two ways. Look, he destroyed the world, and and it was sad. But you have to look at the rebuilding. There'll be mistakes, there'll be challenges, but in the end, everything will work out in a beautiful way.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.